Homestyle Green, episode 237, Smart Exteriors with Stephen Glaze. G'day and welcome back to another episode of Homestyle Green. This is the podcast dedicated to inspiring people to make a better place to live. This week on the show, I've got a conversation with Stephen Glaze from Smart Exteriors. Might not seem totally in line with our main subject of sustainable buildings at first glance, but there's some really interesting insights in this interview with Steve. It's all about the building envelope and fixing up existing buildings, mostly damaged buildings, and making them work better. But I also think that there's a lot we can learn from his ethos of just running a business and providing really great customer service in the building industry. I started out by asking Steve how he got started in the exteriors and retrofitting claddings or sidings, as they refer to them in the US, how he got started in the business.
I started my sophomore year of high school that summer. We had a large hailstorm come through our city, and my job was to go out and knock doors and provide free estimates and get people to allow somebody to come out and give them an estimate. So I did that. By the end of the summer, I was giving the estimates, and shortly after that, I was managing the crews, and so I just started doing that at a very young age. And then I went and did a couple of years of college, but in the summers, I was working the business, and then got out of college and focused full time on the business. And what we did, at that point in time, because there's not always a hailstorm in Kansas City. We would travel, maybe Wichita or Oklahoma or up north in Nebraska or Iowa, things like that, wherever there was within about a 3 or 4 mile radius to find the hail and do that work. And so we did that for a while. As I got married and had kids and, my dad decided he wanted to retire and get out of the business, I decided that's not something I want to do the rest of my life is travel around and be gone all the time. So my wife and I started Smart Exteriors about 4 years ago and focused on much more than roofing and here locally, just building that local business.
Because you really do look after quite a lot of that weatherization of the whole envelope, because now you've got roofing, siding, or as we would say, cladding. But you also do the gutters and the window. Is it just the window installs that you do?
Yeah, so we do the window replacements, mostly pocket replacements. Sometimes when we're doing the, we'll do a new construction full frame replacement when we're doing the siding or cladding, as you say. We do it all. And I mean, I would say roofing now is maybe 10% of my business. I would say it's mostly the cladding and the gutters and windows.
And when you started, it was damaged repair, right? So it was replacing roofs and existing buildings. How much of your work now is new build versus replacements?
It's 100% replacement. We don't do any new construction really at all. It's all now. The difference is what used to be insurance work. Basically hail damage repair is now, wood rot and just, retail business. But we don't do really. I don't think we've done any new construction.
Right. So you really are the people to call in if there's been damage or if, like they do, materials just age and they're beyond repair, they need replacing. I know that there's a huge range of different products and different roofs out there, but what would people expect as a lifespan for most roofs and for most siding?
For the roofing anymore, they used to make on the asphalt shingles, which is the most popular shingle, they used to make a 30-year, a 40-year, and a 50-year shingle. And it was just the difference was the thickness. And what they found was that the 30-year shingles were just lasting forever. And so they got rid of the 40 and 50, and they made the 30 years lifetime. And I know in the Midwest, you're going to probably have a hailstorm, within that 20 to 30 year period, you know, probably more like every 15 years. And so it never reaches that, it never gets to that point anyways. And so, I would say that for your average shingle, 30 years is standard, mm-hmm. to last. And now on this siding, you know, it does vary quite a bit, but, the most of the products, like if you go with, let's say, a James Hardy fiber cement or a LP, you know, engineered wood, which are two popular options, you're looking at that same probably 30-year range if you, you know, maintain it.
Yeah, yeah. Which means that in most cases, at some stage, people are going to have to replace something because the houses will last longer than that. So, it's going to be a job that's going to be required at some stage.
Builders are a remodeler's best friend because they don't always use the best equipment or the best materials, and uh-huh. they don't always install them exactly to manufacturer specifications. And so that causes them to, wear out or go bad prior to their, you know, full life expectancy. I mean, for example, siding, you know, the biggest thing that we see with new construction is they put the siding where, like, let's say you have a roof that runs into a wall, they will put the siding, you know, right on that roof, like, you know, maybe a half inch up, and the manufacturer requires 2 inches. And so what happens is snow and water and everything gets in, it starts to rot it out from the bottom up. Or if they do, when they paint the house, they, like when the siding comes down to the, you know, the foundation, the painter comes in, he sprays it, they put it on primed, he sprays it, but he doesn't spray the underside of it. So water comes down and it wicks back up and starts to rot it out from, you know, behind. And so these are the things that, you know, just little things that aren't done a lot of times in the new construction process that create a lot of work for guys like me.
And we've had a lot of issues around those types of problems where, and it's led to leaky buildings, and it's mm-hmm. it's a really, I mean, the only winners there are insurance companies. Well, it's not even them, it's the lawyers, really. But in cases like that, which must be common, is anyone held accountable or is anyone checking for those details? Because it is those details that are so important for the weather tightness of a building.
It's very frustrating because, you know, it's very common to hire to have a home inspection prior to purchasing a new home or, you know, or even a used home. So whenever you go buy a house, you know, it's very common to have an inspection, and the inspector comes, but they have almost zero liability. I mean, they can say, yep, everything looks great. You buy the home and come to find out, you know, something major is wrong, and they don't really have any liability. There's not much you can do. It's pretty unfortunate. And so with builders, I know when you buy a new home, their warranty is like 1 year. Well, these problems don't show themselves for, you know, 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And so then that's, and by that time it's, you know, who knows if the builder's even still in business or, you know, he's certainly not going to say, well, it's well past the warranty and you're just, you know, it's called maintenance and you got to take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about when it comes to replacement? Are there any, if you're replacing like for like, I imagine it's not a problem, but are there rules and regulations when you're changing the cladding type or changing the system of the, either the roof or the siding?
You know, that's another thing. In most of the cities that we work in, they do not require a permit for replacing the exterior cladding of the home. They require it for roofing and they require it for decks, but not for siding. And so that opens itself up to, you know, there's nobody really checking. You're relying on the guy that you choose, the company you choose to do that work, because there's nobody really checking. And so one of the things that separates us is we offer a lifetime warranty on all of our workmanship. And the reason we can do that is because we're sticklers for making sure that every product we install is installed exact to manufacturer specifications. Mm. And so that's a really, really big deal. And we talk about that with the homeowners. And that is, you know, big thing that separates us.
And that's important because, like you say, if there's no tight regulation around that sort of thing, then the the homeowner's none the wiser. They're not going to be protected. And it must be hard for them to know who's good and who's not.
It is. A lot of these problems that I'm speaking of, they don't show right away. I mean, you know, it's something that's going to be an issue, you know, 10, 12 years down the road. And by that time, it's just too late to go back. And, you know, you've certainly already paid the guy and it's been, you know, a decade has gone by. You may have sold the house and now you got somebody else bought it. And now it's their problem and they don't know who did it before. And so it's just, it never really finds its way back to the contractor at that point.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, so many contractors get away with it because, you know, if it doesn't show itself within that first year or two, you know, nobody ever really goes back typically. And so that's the, you know, it's kind of discouraging, but that's kind of how we've started to grow our business. And you know, even, you know, my dad was in business for 25 years and, you know, we would get on roofing, you know, there'd always be just a couple of things. Basically the flashing around the pipes, you know, you got the vents from the bathroom and things like that would come up through the roof and you put a rubber flashing around that. And after about 7 years, that little rubber gasket, the sun would just kind of crack it and eat its way through it. And so you would a lot of times get leaks right around there. And so most companies would offer like a 5-year warranty. Because they knew that after that's probably going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. And so we started putting double flashing on that. We put the flashing on there and then we put another rubber gasket on top of that just to protect it from the sun so we could offer those lifetime warranties. And never had any issues with those that a lot of the guys. So we try to anticipate what the problems are going to be and just resolve them ahead of time so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because a homeowner is not going to remember that, or they're going to move on, and the house is going to be sold, and no one's going to be any wiser until a drip starts appearing somewhere. By which time, most of the significant damage has probably occurred. But it also, I imagine, for a company like yours, the just running the business and getting clients, there must be an issue to. Around repeat customers, because you don't really want to have, or your clients don't want to be repeat clients, really, do they? They want the job done once, and then that's it. They don't really want to see you again.
Right. So with the roofing side of it, that's the case. The only time you would get a repeat customer is when they would move and get a new home, and then they would say, you know, or they would, you know, I would have a customer, and then, you know, they're a relative of theirs would need the same work done and they'd say, well, I had a great experience with this company, use them. So that was the case. Now that we do several different things, you know, with the roofing, siding, windows, gutters, we get repeat customers for different products. We'll go out and do siding 1 year and then, you know, 3 years later, they'll call and I want gutter guards or a window. And, you know, 4 years after that, they, you know, we had a little hail damage, they need a roof. And so we get a lot more repeat business, but mostly you're right. We don't have a lot of repeat business. It's the referral business is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, more so than the repeat business.
Now I want to talk about some products. And one of the things that I notice with a lot of your products is that there tends to be more and more coming onto the market that are, I kind of put it as they're pretending to be something else. And others might even call them fake materials. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about things like polymer and polymer roofing, and also mm-hmm. some pretty new innovations in siding like vinyl. Is that a growing trend of things that are pretending to be something else?
Yeah. You know, what everybody wants is, you know, something to look authentic, like, you know, let's say wood or in the case of the polymer shingle. So what they're trying to emulate is either a wood shake or maybe a slate or a tile without the maintenance or maybe even the cost mm-hmm. of those things. So a big probably I'd say one of the big innovative material in building products is polymer or PVC type materials. I mean, you're seeing it is, you know, in trim, you know, like around windows or things like this, siding even now. And then also in the roofing materials, window frames. And that's because it doesn't rot. You know, if the color is all the way through, you don't have to paint it or anything like that. So it's more of a maintenance-free product, and they've gotten better and better at making them look like the real thing. And so that is definitely a trend. I mean, you see it with decks. I mean, it started with composite decks, and those are the same type of, you know, a lot of those are PVC material, but they're made to look like wood. You know, with different colors and grains that they can put in there, but yet you don't have to worry about insects, rot, water, things like that.
When I first see something like that, I think that it's plastic and it can't be, well, firstly, it can't be durable, but also maybe not that environmentally friendly. But that seems to be one of its credentials, right? In terms of being able to be recycled and possibly being more durable.
Yeah, I would say that the only thing you have to worry about with the PVC, because it is very durable, it is eco-friendly because it is recyclable. A lot of them are made from recycled products like milk jugs and things like this. So the issue is with expansion and contraction, you know, the freezing, the thawing, the hot, the cold in our climate. And so the thinner the material is, the more that's going to be an issue with it moving and warping and that sort of thing. You know, but as we've gotten better at, like, for example, on decks, you know, instead of, you know, if you're going to use a PVC material, you're putting it on 12-inch centers as opposed to 16 or 18 or anything larger, because it's going to need to be screwed down more so that, you know, it doesn't move as much. You know, you have to allow on siding, PVC siding, it will move on you as it expands and contracts. So you have to make sure that you have the right, you know, like holes where you put the siding. It's not screwed in. It's got a little movement there, and it's not super snug. There's little things you have to do to accommodate that. But if it's done right and installed correctly, they are great products. They're, you know, lifetime warranties. They don't, you don't have to worry about rotting, you know, fading, you know, any sort of maintenance. It's been really, really good.
I have heard with that, the vinyl, the PVC, that, yeah, if it does move around, it can get quite noisy if it's done incorrectly, because it's sort of expanding, contracting during the day. It makes a bit of noise.
You know, I've not heard that, honestly. I honestly haven't. I've usually it's on the cladding, it's subtle, but that may be the case. I've just not heard that.
Yeah, it might just be to do with the installation. Tell me about the impact resistance shingles for roofs. Is it what's the SBS?
Yeah, so you know, there's the company that really founded that, there's, you know, created that first shingle, was, it's called Malarkey, and they were based out of Alaska. And they were having an issue with the asphalt shingles needing to get warm to seal down to one another. And so tricky in Alaska. And so they were having issues with the not sealing down, and, you know, then the wind would blow and it would blow them off. So they created this with a rubbery material, this SBS modified material. It's like basically a rubber material made from the base of it was made from recycled tires. And they did this to get it to lay flatter, seal down better. But what they found was that it was also became much more impact resistant. And so then they started testing it and setting off. And they have a Hag Engineering, HAAG, down in Dallas, Texas. They do a lot of hail damage research and things, and they actually have a gun where they will shoot a steel ball that's the size of a golf ball, and then they have one baseball and tennis ball, and they go up and to test these shingles, and they found that, you know, these shingles were a steel ball at 100 miles an hour would not break the shingles. It would just basically absorb the impact and it would bounce right off. And that was the start of the class four impact resistant shingles in industry. And now pretty much everyone, every manufacturer has some sort of that type of product, but it holds up really, really well. And I recommend it highly. And, you know, throughout the Midwest where we get a lot of hailstorms.
Yeah. How many hailstorms do you know what you'd expect throughout the year? Is it pretty regular occurrence?
It's pretty regular. You know, some part of the Kansas City metro gets hit at least every other year. But like in Denver, you know, area, they're getting hit every year. Some part of that's getting hit every single year. Texas, Oklahoma, they get hit every single year, some part of it.
And is it getting worse? Is it something you're seeing more of or higher intensity?
I honestly don't think so. Not in the last, 20 years. I haven't noticed it getting any worse. Right. It's pretty consistently the same.
Yeah.
So I haven't noticed that, but it's definitely there and it's just constant.
Yeah. And another interesting product that people are starting to talk about, I think you mentioned in your blog that it's not yet available in Kansas, but that's solar roofs and solar tiles where the PV generation is actually incorporated mm-hmm. into the product itself. But are you seeing, or are you having to deal more with solar panels on roofs?
We are. It's becoming, it seems like that went through a phase. Like, it seemed like 10 or 15 years ago, we saw a lot of it, then it kind of went away, and now it's kind of coming back again. Mm. We're seeing more and more of it. More people are asking about it. And, I think that it's just a matter of the cost getting to the right point. And when it does, I think that's going to really take off because that is something that there's definitely an interest in.
Yeah. Yeah. And does that, when people are making that decision, is there anything else they have to take into account with the roofing material?
No, there's different types. I mean, there are some that actually look just like the shingles, that look like a three-tab shingle, but they're in the same shape. And so they go down and they lay flat and they're really nice. They're just, it's not super cost effective right now. So then you've got the actual big panels that they, put into your roof. And those, yes, you have to, like tile roofs, wouldn't really accommodate that. You'd have to, tile around it or something. But for the most, and asphalt shingles, which is predominantly what you see here in the Midwest, all of the different systems will work. But
I've got some PV panels on concrete tiles on my roof, and it caused a few headaches for the installers, and they had to make up some brackets that actually sort of tucked up in between the tiles and around some big stainless steel brackets, and then put the framing structure
there. You go
elevated quite a way off that roof, so it's a bit of an engineering challenge.
You can't just screw down into the tile like you can.
Well, and there's all sorts of things you got to consider there. You got to have let the roof do its job to for water to run off, but you've also got to secure this panel down so it's not going to uplift with wind. Mm-hmm. You've got to make it all the penetrations watertight. It's actually roofs have got to be they're there for a really good reason. If you do anything to it, like poke a pipe through it or put a fixing on it, you've got to really think about how to make that watertight.
Right. I mean, every time we get a call and there's a roofing leak of some sort, we go out there and, it's never leaking just out in the middle of the roof. It's always around a skylight, a pipe, some, like you said, some hole poked up through the roof and water's getting in around it somewhere. And so that's what you're, looking for. And the more you add to that roof, the more opportunities you have for those type of issues. But
do you get into any of the building wraps or the underlays or anything like that, or is that always in place and you just look after the cladding on the outside?
No, we replace all of that as well. So like when we install vinyl siding, for example, we are typically taking it down to the sheathing, and then we'll put some sort of insulation barrier, whether it be anywhere from 1/4 inch to 3/4 inch, typically foam board. And then we could do a house wrap moisture barrier on top of that, and then put our siding. with the fiber cement and the engineered wood. It's basically take it down to the cladding, and then the sheathing, and then we go over that with just a house wrap moisture barrier and seal tape all of the seams and around all the openings.
And is there, do you have a cavity there, or is the siding direct fixed onto that?
So it's direct fixed onto that. There's so James Hardy has their own house wrap that they want us to use, and mm-hmm. The siding goes direct to that. Now, what I like to use is on when I'm not doing James Hardy is I use a rain screen that basically it's a house wrap with it's got some friction, some where it doesn't go directly to that. It like holds it. It's like got a texture to it that allows for if moisture gets behind the siding, it can kind of get down through and drop down as opposed to being stuck directly to the moisture barrier. And I like that. I'm waiting. I think James Hardy is probably going to, at some point from what I've been reading, move to something like that as well, because there have been some issues on some commercial projects with that probably would be better if they had like a rain screen type house wrap.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Now, talk briefly. It's been an interesting year for 2020 in general for a lot of people, but you've been trucking on through as an essential business. How are things going in general? Are you expanding?
Yeah, we're growing. We actually are adding some sales guys. I mean, I think in general, for everybody I've talked to in the construction industry has done well this year. You can imagine with all of the people being home, people are looking to add space to entertain, whether it be, an outdoor space or, a bar in the basement or something like that. They're looking to, remodel to make home offices. Kids are doing schools from home and people are working out at home. And so there's a lot going on with the home remodeling industry right now. It's been kind of a boom for us, really. Mm. And you wouldn't think as much, on the, cladding and stuff, but people are home. I mean, before COVID, most of our appointments for estimates were in the evenings. Everybody's trying to get that between 5 and 7 p.m. time slot. Whereas now, people are like, well, you can come anytime you want. I'm home all day.
I'm working from home. Yeah.
Right. Anytime is good for me. And so I think just people being home, having the ability to say, I'm home, let's deal with this now, has helped.
But that's also really interesting about people being at home, seeing how the house is performing during the day, and mm-hmm. and also realizing that they want to entertain more, they want to spend more time at home, putting more into fixing up where they are rather than either going on holiday or buying a new house.
Yeah. I think the big thing is, with the kind of the circle of friends that I have and neighbors and things, a lot of people weren't going on vacations. And so, there's been a lot of, outdoor patios and fire pits and swimming pools and all that installed this year. And it's just because people are, entertaining more at the house. They want to enjoy being home more.
Where's the best place for people to get in touch with you and find out, see what you do?
Well, the first would be our website. It's smartextpros.com. And that's our company website. It's got a lot of different products that we offer there and a little bit about our company. And, you can read some of our reviews and how we interact with customers. You can always catch me on Twitter at Stephen Glaze and then also on LinkedIn, Stephen Glaze. So those would probably be the best.
Awesome. Hey, well, thank you very much for your time, Steve. Really appreciate it. And it's great to find companies that are doing one of the oldest jobs in the building industry in some ways, but doing it in an innovative way and looking into new products, new systems, and staying up to date with the latest and greatest. So keep up the good work.
Absolutely, Matthew. Thanks for having me.
Stephen Glaze there of Smart Exteriors. He's based in Missouri in the US. Love to know what you thought of that episode. You can contact me, Matthew@homestylegreen.com. Love to get your comments, thoughts, feedback, or suggestions for future episodes. Please also do give us a shout out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this. You can rate us and leave a review. It really helps increase the audience, get the message out there. Thank you very much for tuning in. Now go make a better place to live.
Hey, if you enjoy Homestyle Green, then I know you're going to love the Passive House podcast. I co-host the show with Zach Semke from the Passive House Accelerator. Check it out now at passivehouseaccelerator.com/podcast.